Good morning. Special good morning to the mothers. This is your day, and I hope your families have big plans for you that don't include doing any dishes or anything like that. I want to start out this morning. I want to share some pearls of wisdom that comes from our mothers. These are called momisms. As I look down this list, I think my mom may have used every one of them on me. First one is, mothers teach about religion. She says, you better pray that that will come out of your clothes. Mothers teach about logic. Because I said so, that's why. Mothers teach about stamina. Now this one really applies to my brothers and I. You'll sit there until you're ready to apologize to your brother. Mothers teach about weather. This room of yours looks like a tornado went through it. Mothers teach about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. Now, here's a good one. Mothers teach about anticipation. Just wait until we get home. And this one has a corollary. Mothers teach about receiving. You're going to get it when we get home. Mothers teach about humor. When that lawnmower cuts your toes off, don't come running to me. They teach about contortionists. Will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? And here's an oldie but a goodie. Mothers teach about irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. I saw a lot of moms shaking their heads on that one. I think it's a secret desire of every mother that they teach about justice. And that's when they all say, one day you will have kids and they'll grow up just to be just like you. And then you'll know what I'm talking about. We set this aside today to honor mothers. I read that by the time a child reaches age 18, a mother has had to handle some extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. Now, personally, I think that's a little low. And they say, in fact, that women who've never had children enjoy an equivalency of an extra 3 months a year in leisure time. Then there was an added thing to that. It says, unless she has a husband. And I've heard that husbands are more time-consuming to raise than children. And I don't know. I don't think that's true in my house. But, oh, you'd have to talk to Robin. There was a junior high teacher, and he was lecturing on the properties of magnets for his class. The next day, he gave the students a pop quiz, and he said, the first question, my name begins with an M, has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I? Half a class answered, mother. You know, a father is important in everyone's life, but no one is more important than their mother. Ralph Waldo Emerson has said, men are what their mothers make them. And an old Spanish proverb says that an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. You know, we can look to the scriptures for inspiration on what it is to be a good mother and how important and how valued a mother should be in our lives. I love the picture of Moses' mother. She loved her son so much that she was willing to break the law in order for him to receive the faith of his people. And what about the sacrificial love of the mother that went before Solomon and told him that she would give up her child, was willing to have him given to another woman so he wouldn't be harmed? Or what about the mother of James and John? She loved her son so much, she went to Jesus and asked if they could sit on his right and left hand in the heavenly kingdom. You know, I'm aware that Mother's Day is a time of joy, and also it can be a time, a hard time for some mothers. I know there's women that have wanted to become a mother and haven't yet been able to. Some of you have had a mother that passed away recently. Maybe some of you have lost a child. Or maybe you have a child that a wayward child has given you pain over the last year. Maybe you're raising a child on your own without the help of a father. But I want you to know that no matter what, a woman can make a great spiritual impact on their children, with or without the help of a father. You know, we talked about the men are supposed to be the leaders in the household, but it's the mom that does the nurturing and the caring. I want to talk to you today about a young woman named Eunice. She was raised in a religious home and was greatly impacted by her mother, Lois. She loved to learn the stories in the Bible. When she was young, she enjoyed going to services where she could learn about God. As she approached her teenage years, she was still focused on spiritual matters, but she became attracted to a young man who was a Greek. And against the teaching of her faith, she married the man. Eunice and her husband had a baby boy they named Timothy. Both his mother and grandmother spent hours with him teaching him the stories of God and of the Bible. They taught him the stories out of the Old Testament, and they were praying with him and for him, training him in the things of God. They created a spiritual environment where Timothy could flourish. And one day, a preacher named Paul came to the town. He spoke about a man named Jesus. Both Lois and Eunice saw in Jesus the fulfillment of all the promises in the Old Testament. They placed their trust in him and were converted. These new believers now in turn focused on teaching Timothy all about who Jesus was. And we know from reading the book of Acts that Paul himself took a personal interest in Timothy. And with his mother and grandmother, led Timothy to a saving faith. Later on, Paul and Timothy partnered together in the ministry as the gospel continued to spread throughout the area. And many years later, while Paul was still in prison, he was awaiting his execution, and he wrote two letters to young Timothy. We know these letters as 1 and 2 Timothy. And he shared with Timothy about how he should behave as a church leader, and also some reminiscing and remembering on Paul's part. With that as a background, I want to talk about three things this morning. Three ways that this mother and grandmother affected the life of young Timothy. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, "Yes, and all who deserve to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Then skipping ahead to verse 14, it says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Paul is urging Timothy to hang tough when the times got hard. Timothy knew these things, but he had to put them into practice in his life. He had to show them. He had to show he was convicted of their truthfulness. He lived out what his mother and grandmother had taught him. In verse 15, it says, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Grandmother Lois and Mother Eunice taught him the Scriptures from the very beginning. They teamed up to provide Bible study, learning, and upbringing. They read to him. They shared the heroes of faith from the Old Testament. They did everything they could to set a good groundwork for Timothy. They were following the commands in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command to you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your home, when you wait by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." These two mothers had the word of God in their hearts. And our mothers today should have the same words, because this scripture is just true, as true today as it was when it was written. There's nothing that can replace a mother's role in her child's life. He's the one, she's the one that holds them, that nurtures them, that raises them. And it's never too early to start teaching the Bible to your children. And if you haven't started yet, it's not too late. God wants you to instill a sense of respect and awe for the Bible in your children. It's a big, big job, an awesome responsibility, but luckily you don't have to do it all by yourself. Look around you. You have a church full of people. People you can call on, that you can lean on. We have Sunday school classes. There's Awana, there's VBS. On Wednesday nights, now there's Kids Club going on Wednesday nights. There's youth groups. There's all kinds of programs to help you teach the Bible to your children. There were four young scholars gathered together arguing over Bible translations. The first one said he preferred the King James Bible because of its beauty and how eloquent the words were. Another said he liked the New American Standard because of its literalism. A third scholar was sold on the New Living Translation because he liked the contemporary phrasing. And the fourth said, I personally prefer my mother's translation. Well, the other three started laughing at him. He said, yeah, my mom translated the Bible. She translated each page day by day through the way we lived. It's the most convincing translation I've ever read. Now, Mom, I have a question for you this morning. What kind of Bible is your child seeing when they look at you? What do they see when they reach out? Are you making a difference in your child's life with the Word of God? Are you teaching and leading by the way you lead your life? You see, a child will watch you, and you can't fool them for very long. The second way we need to make an impact in the lives of our children is by installing in them an authentic faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. You see, even though Lois and Eunice were believers, Timothy needed to come to that point in his life when he believed also. Faith isn't hereditary, it's learned. It's something we're taught as we observe our parents, as we live our lives. When a mother models genuine faith, a child recognizes that. When you set up an environment where they can evolve, where they can learn and they can grow, they will. You see, faith has to come and take up residence in your heart first before you can pass it along to your children. These two mothers were fully devoted and completely committed to their faith. And Timothy knew it. He could see it. So moms, if you want to install a genuine faith in your children, then you better take your own faith seriously. If you're just going through the spiritual motions, a child will sense that, and he'll follow in your footsteps. There'll be a faith with no roots. It'll be shallow, as they say, blown away by the winds of doctrine. But when you demonstrate your faith consistently in prayer, in reading the Bible, attending worship, taking your kids to programs where they can grow spiritually, they'll see a strong message and they'll get that message from you. Then there needs to be a desire to minister. See, Paul preached, and Timothy was converted. Paul returned a short time later in Acts chapter 16, verse 1 through 3. He says, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek." You see, I read this, and I see a grandmother and a mother that was receiving no help from the father. He mentioned him, he was a Greek. They didn't say he was a believer. He was a Gentile. Paul referred to him as a disciple. He could refer to him as a believer or as a Christian. Disciple means something special. That's someone that follows, someone that learns, someone that cares. And Timothy was called a disciple. He was serious about Christ and not just going through the motions. As I mentioned before, that was the model that his mother and grandmother put out. And second, he had a good reputation. You know, it's funny, we were talking about that in our men's study. Good reputation. The believers spoke well of him. They knew him as a man of integrity and a man of his word. Again, that had a lot to do with the teaching from his mother and his grandmother. Paul thought very highly of Timothy and recruited him for ministry. Moms, part of your job is to install a respect for the Bible in your children. Another responsibility is to install a true faith. But the most important job you have is to install in your children a desire for ministry. Our kids need to learn the Bible and grow in their faith so they can make a difference in this world. They need to be able to share their faith with others. They need to be able to minister in their workplaces and in their homes. They need to be able to serve those who are hurting, to serve as missionaries. They need to learn what their special gifts are and how to use them. You see, we're saved to serve. We're expected to reach out to the lost. We're expected to disciple others. We are equipped so we can do the work of our Lord. And we are sanctified so we can be sent out into that dying world. Moms, you have an awesome responsibility and an awesome job. I always hated it when someone said that their moms didn't have a job. They stayed in the home. Well, I know what kind of job that is. It starts when the first little set of feet hit the floor in the morning and doesn't end until they're in bed and the chores are all done. I can't think of any other job in this world that has more responsibility than being a mom. You got eyes looking at you for guidance, for love, to be picked up and held. I was once told that once a child is born, a mom never gets to eat another hot meal in her life because she's always feeding them first. Susanna Wesley was the mother of 17 children. Two of them was John and Charles Wesley. She spent 1 hour each day praying for her children, and she put out a list, her parenting guidelines that helped her as a mother. She put down, subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save his soul. Teach the child to pray as soon as he can speak. Give the child nothing he cries for, and only what is good for him if he asks politely. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Command and reward good behavior. And strictly observe all promises that you have made to your child. Moms, you're underpaid and overworked and sometimes taken for granted. But you're the most important person in anyone's life. I don't care if you're 2 years old or 20 years old or 60 years old. Mother's always the most important person. We don't tell you often enough how much you're loved and how much you're needed in our lives. I want to tell you that this morning. And I want to close in a poem. I don't know who wrote it. I was just given this to me this week. But it's just titled, My Mother. It says, your love I know, I've seen your tears. You've given to me my life. You've walked through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife. To see that I could have the best that you could give me, you gave up needs and often rest. You viewed eternity. To do His will, my highest call, and by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall. You held me up in prayer. Through strands of gray may brush your hair and miles divide our way. I know that by your quiet prayer, you've helped me day by day. You've shown me how to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me to see and be aware that life is so soon past. To spite your love, I would not dare, for there is not another who spreads her gentle love and care like you, my loving mother. Thank you, moms. Happy Mother's Day. Let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just praise you for the mothers that are in our lives. Father, I thank you for the lessons that they teach us. I'm so thankful that they're obedient to your word and they share the scriptures with us. They share their faith. And they lead us and guide us. And Father, I just lift them up this morning on their special day. And I just praise you. The moms that are all here this morning, Father, and those that couldn't be here. I just ask you would have a special blessing for them today. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.